you, please, Mataji, take over.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Very grateful for this opportunity. Om Akhyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shubhakaya Chakshuram Litam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanatha Swami Niti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swami Niti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakatha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we will continue on with the Nectar and Mellows of Sri Chauragra Ganya Purushashtakam. We are continuing with text 3. Akinchani kritya padashritam yaham karoti bhikshum patikeha hinam kena apyahabhi shana chorai drik drishta shrutova na jagatrayevi. Translation. He turns his surrendered devotees into paupers and wandering homeless beggar. Alas, such a fearsome thief has never been seen or heard of in all the three worlds. So this is, you know, Charashtakam, as we all know, is written by Srila Bilva Mangala Thakur. So Bilva Mangala Thakur was from a very aristocratic family. And how we heard in his biography in the beginning that how he left everything on the saying of his Vartma Pradarshaka Guru, Chintamani, who was the prostitute. And on her saying how he just left everything and he proceeded to just go towards the path of Krishna. So he is, in fact, in this particular verse, he is giving reference to himself and many, many other devotees also. Srila Prabhupada is also a very good example of this particular verse. Srila Prabhupada many a time actually has quoted this particular verse, and also a very famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that when Krishna shows special favor to someone, he takes away everything from them. So sometimes, as practicing devotees, these kind of statements can sometimes very much scare us. That, oh, if I practice Krishna consciousness, will Krishna take away everything from me? Then how will I stay? What will I do? What will happen to my family? These kind of thoughts always comes. So we need to understand that Krishna gives us, or Krishna takes away something from us based on the capacity that we can bear it. You know, Krishna doesn't do the same kind of treatment to each and every person. We are all not A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. None of us are. Or none of us are even Bilvamangala Thakura. So we should not be thinking that what will we do if Krishna takes everything away from us, because such a thing is going to be very rare for someone as sinful as us to go through. Only if we are prepared for such a thing, or rather that, you know, when we are at that level, then Krishna might reciprocate. But we need to understand that whether Krishna gives all opulence to someone or whether Krishna takes away all opulence from someone, in both cases, it is Krishna's mercy. Because Krishna's mercy is absolute. We need to understand this. But before we get to that point, we need to also understand the previous point that I was trying to make, that we are all not that fortunate that Srila Prabhupada or Srila Bilva Mangal Thakur, for Krishna to have such a reciprocation with us, to make us into homeless beggars. Because we are definitely not at that level to accept that kind of mercy coming from Krishna. I remember one instance when we were in Sri Brajamandal Parikrama in 2016, there was once an incident, especially that took place when we were at Badrinath. At Badrinath, when we reached Badrinath in Brajamandal, over there we were camped for 3 nights in Badrinath. And Badrinath, for those of you who have been, not this is the Badrinath in Brajamandal. So Badrinath in Brajamandal is actually set, you know, I mean, of course, when you go out to Brajamandal, you know, the Chaurasi coast, most of it is all forest, apart from a few villages here and there. But Badrinath especially is very much like a forest dwelling. And we were actually just staying at the foothills of the Narayan Parvat. There is the Nara and the Narayan Parvat, just like original Badrinath has. So even in the Brajamandal of Badrinath, there is Nara Narayan Parvat and there is Badrinath, very beautiful deity, very beautiful place. So we were staying at the foothills. Our camp was there at the foothills of Badrinath. And one night, you know, I mean, we heard this the next day, that in two or three camps, there were encounters of a snake coming in inside the camp, which is very common. You know, I mean, we heard that one devotee, you know, they were sleeping downstairs, and they, you know, of course, everyone sleeps on the floor, but, you know, they had this mosquito net that they had put, and in the night, they were about to just come out of the mosquito net and, you know, answer nature call. So when they came out, as soon as they just came out, they saw that the snake was, you know, with hood up, it was just waiting for this person to come out. But then as soon as the person came out, he just chanted Narsingadev prayer, and the snake quietly went away, and then, you know, the devotees caught it and took care of the snake. But like this, two, three incidents happened where the snakes entered into the camp, but no harm was done to any of the devotees. So this word, this news reached Srila Radharaman Maharaj, you know, the next day morning, you know, because it was, everyone was like, oh, snake came in the camp, snake came in the camp. It was about to bite a devotee. Oh, how safe is it over here? How, you know, some devotees were getting panicky. So Srila Radharaman Maharaj, that day in the class, in the Srimad Bhagavatam class that day, Maharaj brought this point out, and he said that, you know, we heard that last night there was a, he was very cool about it, you know. He said in a very, very nonchalant way, he said that last night we heard that some devotees encountered some snakes in their own tents. But I want to tell you one thing, that to leave one's body in Brajadham in the month of Kartik, there is a lot of, you know, spiritual credits needed for us to be able to leave our body bitten by one of the Dhamvasis. Snake was a Dhamvasi, a Brajamandal Dhamvasi. So to be able to leave our body bitten by a Dhamvasi, and in the month of Kartik, while doing parikrama, so all of these things have too many prerequisites for us to be able to go through that. So he said, don't worry, none of us over here have that much spiritual credit that you will be, you know, bit by a snake who is a Dhamvasi, and in the month of this auspicious Kartik while doing parikrama. So don't worry, Krishna will not give this kind of mercy because none of us are qualified to receive this kind of mercy. Maharaj was very blunt and he said this. So for everyone, this fear of being bitten by a snake in the dham, in the holy dham, was immediately evaporated, at least in my heart. You know, it was immediately evaporated that yes, I don't deserve to die in Vrindavan Dham. I'm so sinful, so fallen, that I truly don't deserve to die in Vrindavan Dham, that Krishna will not give this kind of mercy to me. That too in Kartik, while doing parikrama, you know, it's the most fortunate of events. You know, if we can leave our bodies in that way, that will be the most, you know, the topmost blessing of Krishna. But we are not qualified to receive that blessing of Krishna. And immediately when we heard this statement, at least in my mind, that paradigm completely changed. Because I personally fear snakes very much. That's the only living entity I personally am very scared of. I'm not scared of a tiger, I'm not scared of a lion, I'm not scared of any animals. But I'm scared of this slithering creature. I'm very scared. One-hooded creature, I'm very scared. Somehow Anantashesh doesn't scare me. But you know, I'm very scared of snakes. So, you know, it was, everyone was like very scared. We were all looking here and there when we were sitting for the class also. So Maharaj completely changed our paradigm. He said that none of us are qualified enough that Krishna will give us this kind of absolute mercy. Because for Krishna to bless someone with life or to take away someone's life, in the absolute sense, it is the same mercy. It is the mercy of Krishna. It just takes us, you know, a different kind of level of understanding to be able to realize this kind of mercy. So we can see in the life of Srila Prabhupada also, that when Srila Prabhupada started his, you know, family life, Srila Prabhupada was actually from a very well-to-do mercantile family. Srila Prabhupada's father, Sri Gaur Mohan Dey, was always, you know, very, very pukka in his business. He was a cloth merchant. And we know that how Srila Prabhupada was brought up in a lot of opulence. Srila Prabhupada was a very opulent person, very aristocratic family Srila Prabhupada belonged to. And even when Srila Prabhupada started his own family life, Srila Prabhupada was very, very nice, well-to-do. In those days, Srila Prabhupada had his own car. He owned his own car, very beautiful car. That car is still there if you want to see in Srila Prabhupada's Pushpa Samadhi Mandir. That car is still there. It's a nice, you know, old ambassador model that Srila Prabhupada had. And, you know, in those days in his neighborhood, he was the only person with a car. So we can understand that how opulent Srila Prabhupada was in his, you know, life. So even at that stage, Srila Prabhupada did not forget Krishna. And then when he followed the instructions of his spiritual master, and when he left his family, Srila Prabhupada says, he writes this also, that Krishna took everything from me. It is a fact that Krishna did take everything away from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada would literally, you know, he would literally beg to even publish his Back to Godhead magazine. Srila Prabhupada would leave Vrindavan every month and he would go into Delhi and he would, you know, beg on the streets. He would, you know, distribute Back to Godhead magazine on the streets of Delhi so that he could, you know, accrue enough Lakshmi so that he could do the next printing of the Bhakti Gaudin magazine. So we can see this kind of determination that Srila Prabhupada had, whether whenever Srila Prabhupada was in a lot of luxury or when Srila Prabhupada, you know, seemed to be like a homeless beggar. In both situations, Srila Prabhupada was blissful, very blissful. And then later, when Srila Prabhupada, when he actually got the opportunity of executing the words of his spiritual master, that whenever you get some Lakshmi, print books, that was one instruction. And the second was that please go to the Western world and preach in the English language to the English-speaking world. So when Srila Prabhupada was going in Jaladuta, you know, we all generally hear that Srila Prabhupada went with 40 rupees in his pocket. But this information was actually, it's not that it was wrong. This information was not wrong. It was not incorrect. But Srila Prabhupada himself said that. But in fact, what happened is it was revealed in, you know, 2016, when there was the Jaladuta festival in Kolkata, in India, and Srila Prabhupada's youngest son, Vrindavan Day, who just recently left his body a couple months ago, but Vrindavan Day, he narrated a very beautiful pastime that when he came, and he was the only one who came to see off his father, Srila Prabhupada, in Kolkata. And when Srila Prabhupada was, you know, going on board the ship, and Vrindavan Day was standing below seeing his father, you know, 69-year-old father, just going up the stairs, going into the ship, at that time, Srila Prabhupada actually called out to Vrindavan Day, and Srila Prabhupada gave him 40 rupees from his pocket and said that, you know, I'm going to America. What will I do with these 40 rupees? So keep this with you and send me some medicines. And he gave a list of some medicines, Ayurvedic medicines, actually. And he said that send me these medicines to the address of Sally Agarwal. And Vrindavan Day said, all right, he will do that. And he took those 40 rupees and kept it with him. So Srila Prabhupada actually went penniless. You know, just like a pauper, Srila Prabhupada boarded the ship, Jaladuta. This was narrated by Vrindavan Day in the ISKCON 50 celebrations at Kolkata in 2016. So we can understand that how, you know, Srila Prabhupada, he actually came penniless. You know, he did not have even a single paisa when he was on board the ship Jaladuta, and when he landed in, or rather when he docked in Boston, when he came to America, he did not have anything other than a trunk full of, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam. He had his manuscript of Srimad Bhagavatam. He had a bag full of cereal, you know, some rice and dal, and he had his cooker and some clothes. That's all he came with. So when Srila Prabhupada came here, we all know how much struggle Srila Prabhupada went through, because by the time Srila Prabhupada reached here, Srila Prabhupada had, you know, he was 70, because his appearance day falls the next day of Janmashtami. So Srila Prabhupada on Nandotsav day had turned 70 on the way. So like this, you know, Srila Prabhupada reached Boston, and how he, you know, started his initial struggle, we all know that. So after the success, you know, that Srila Prabhupada got in 1966, after the cooperation of ISKCON in 1966 in New York, and then how the movement spread to San Francisco, then it went to London, and then in the early 70s, when Srila Prabhupada came back to India with his Dancing White Elephants, one reporter asked Srila Prabhupada that we see so many spiritual leaders that, you know, where they show magic, they show some miracle. So can you show us some miracle? A reporter challenged Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada smiled and said that, yes, I can show you a miracle. He said that I am a pauper. When I went to America, I did not have even 40 rupees with me. But today I have property worth $40 million. Is that a miracle or not? Prabhupada asked the reporter. And, you know, he said that, yes, within 7 years, that how Srila Prabhupada had, you know, changed the face of the planet. And he said that, see, now they calculate miracles in terms of money. So Srila Prabhupada gave them a monetary calculation. That, okay, if you want money, that this is a miracle, go calculate. And then the reporter said, yes, that is a miracle indeed, that what Srila Prabhupada has achieved. So when Srila Prabhupada, you know, was wandering the streets of New York all alone, he never considered himself alone. He always felt the strong presence of his spiritual master. So even in that homeless, wandering condition, Srila Prabhupada never felt alone. He never felt that Krishna abandoned him, nor did his Guru Maharaj even for a moment leave his side. That was the, you know, unbounding faith that Srila Prabhupada had in you know, Krishna and his spiritual master. So much bound by the mercy and belief, the faith that he had in his spiritual master. And because of that faith that can move mountains, Srila Prabhupada was able to move and transform the hearts of everyone he came in touch with. And then when Srila Prabhupada was given success by Krishna, when Hare Krishna became a household, you know, talk in a land that has never heard of the name of Krishna, all over the 7 continents, Srila Prabhupada established, you know, 108 temples all over the world in 11 years. Such a miracle Prabhupada did. So when Srila Prabhupada, you know, if we see the videos of Srila Prabhupada from 1974, 1975, when he was traveling around the world, like he had the spirit of a young child. At that time, who can say that the initial struggle that Srila Prabhupada had was, you know, like that of a beggar? But now Srila Prabhupada, you know, is being received in, you know, like, you know, luxurious limousines are going to receive Srila Prabhupada. You know, Rolls Royce cars were going to receive Srila Prabhupada in the airport. So much opulence. So, but in neither situation, we see that Srila Prabhupada ever changed. When Krishna took away everything, when Krishna gave everything to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada remained the same, loyal to Krishna, loyal to his spiritual master, devoted to his spiritual master, grateful in all situations. Similarly, the Pandavas, we can see, that when everything was taken away from them, you know, one day actually what happened is in the forest, when the Pandavas were in exile in the forest, one day Narad Muni visited them. So Narad Muni came to see that, oh my dear Pandavas, how are you doing? And they saw, Narad Muni saw that these Pandavas, how happy they were in Indraprastha. They were, you know, in that same happy mood, they actually received Narada. They gave the best of reception to him that was possible. They, you know, Mother Draupadi, she cooked a very beautiful feast for Narada. They all were very joyful that Narada had come. So it didn't change their mood. And then when Narada was very confused and he went to Dwarka to see Krishna, and Krishna said, oh, Narada, welcome, welcome. So where are you coming from? He said, oh, I'm coming from the forest, just seeing the Pandavas. But these Pandavas, Krishna, what have you done to them? What kind of magic have you done to them? You have completely hypnotized them in your love. That whether it be the forest or whether it be the kingdom of Indraprastha, that they are always blissful. How can this be? Of course, they are now in preparation of war, but they are not sulking. They are not, you know, they are not saying, oh, we were kings and look at us now. We are, you know, they are not sitting and just, you know, crying over their fate, but they are blissful. How did you do this, O Krishna? You have Vashikriyate. Vashikriyate means you have hypnotized the Pandavas in this way. So, Akinchane Krita Padashritamya Karoti Dhiksham Pathigeha Heenam. This third verse of Churashtakam, it's very difficult to digest for souls like us, but we need to understand that whether it be opulence, or whether Krishna wants us to be a beggar, that in both situations, it is Krishna's transcendental supreme mercy upon us. Whatever situation Krishna gives us in, puts us in, that situation is what we need to make spiritual advancement. That is the conviction of a soul surrendered at the lotus feet of Krishna. That whatever situation, Krishna, you will put me in, that is the best for me to make spiritual advancement. Sometimes when we are undergoing difficulty, even in our health-wise, in our family life, we tend to say, what did I do to deserve this, O Krishna? You know, we always say, why? We always question Krishna. Why me? What did I do to deserve this? Well, trust me, we did a lot to deserve it. And Krishna is so merciful, He is not giving us a lot. He is giving us only a token punishment for what we actually deserve. So, when we can be grateful from our heart, in every situation of our life, whether it be suffering or whether it be happiness, in every situation of our life, if you remember this formula, that only a grateful heart can be the true recipient of Krishna's mercy, then whether Krishna gives us opulence or whether Krishna takes away all our opulence, it will be making no difference to us whatsoever. So that is the mood and the consciousness of a devotee. So we'll continue with text 4.
Yadi anamha diharatya shesham giri prasaram apita parasim ashaya rupo nanu charaitre drishta Shrutova Namaya Kadalti. Translation. Mere utterance of his name purges one of a mountain of sins. Such an astonishingly wonderful thief I have never seen or heard of anywhere. Such a beautiful way of saying this. Bilva Mangal Thakur chose his words very, very, very carefully. Yadiya nama piharati ashesham. He is addressing Krishna as Hari in this particular verse. Why? Because Krishna is the one who is absorbing. He is just completely harat. He is absorbing. He is taking away what? Giri prasaran api paaparasin, our mountain-like sinful reactions, simply by taking the name of Krishna, our mountain-like sinful reactions are completely stolen away by this thief called Krishna, Hari. Hari matlab, one who jo har lete hain, one who takes away, one who snatches away. So harat yashesham, he is taking away, he is snatching, he is stealing all of our sins, which are not just buckets of sins or mugs of sins or katoris of sins, but mountains and mountains of sin.
In this regard, we always remember this very wonderful context that happened in the life of the Pandavas. You know, after the Pandavas, you know, when they won the battle of Kurukshetra, then Maharaj Yudhishthira was crowned the king. At that time, Bhima was crowned the bodyguard and the first minister of Maharaj Yudhishthira. So if anyone had to see Maharaj Yudhishthira, they had to go through Bhima. So Bhima would always stand guard to Maharaj Yudhishthira. So one day Bhima was standing and one of the citizens came running to Bhima. He said, "Bhima, Bhima, there's something very astonishing that I, you know, astonishing, ascharya." "Oh, astonishing? What astonishing thing did you see?" Bhima asked. Said, "You know, I saw that there was this huge, you know, there was one man, of course, and he was taking a huge elephant and he was threading the elephant through the eye of a needle." And Bhima said, "Hey, are you okay? Can anyone thread an elephant through the eye of a needle?" Then this man said, "Yes, yes, Bhima, trust me. I saw with my own eyes that this man was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle, and the entire elephant passed through, but only the tail got stuck. The elephant's tail, it got stuck." And Bhima said, "Oh Krishna, this is too much. The elephant passed through the eye of the needle, but the elephant's tail, which is the tiniest part of the elephant's body, that got stuck. It did not get through." He said, "Yeah, this was so astonishing, Bhima. What should I do? I want a meaning. That why did I see this? And, you know, what does this mean?" Bhima said, "Yeah, yeah, you are most qualified to go in and see Maharaj Yudhishthira. He'll resolve your doubt. Go in and see him. Go." So then Bhima gave permission. This person went inside. Then another citizen came running. He said, "Bhima, Bhima, Bhima, I saw something more very, very astonishing today. Such an astonishing, you know, thing I saw." So then Bhima said, "Okay, what did you see?" He said, "I saw that there were some crops, very nice, lushy crops were growing. And then there were, you know, fences that were protecting the crops. And then suddenly those fences, they started growing teeth and they started eating the crops." Bhima said, "What? Fences don't eat crops." He said, "Well, these fences, they ate the crops. They started eating the crops. What should we do? What should I do? I don't know. I saw this something very astonishing. So much ascharya. I don't know what to do." And Bhima said, "Okay, you also go in, Baba. I don't know why this is happening. You also go in. Go ask Maharaj Yudhishthira what you saw. Go." So the second person also went in. The third person coming running, "Bhima, Bhima, Bhima." And then Bhima said, "Oh Krishna, now a third person, what happened to you?" And he said, "Bhima." He said, "Oh, what happened?" He said, "Oh, I saw the most astonishing thing." He said, "Oh, what did you see?" He said, "I saw that a person took one big pot and he was able to fill five small pots with that one pot. And then when he took the water from the five pots and he tried to pour it into the big pot, that the big pot was not being able to fill." And then Bhima started laughing. "Hey, I know the answer to this. Maybe all the water fell down. That's why, you know, this, you know, the small pot couldn't fill the water to the big pot." And the person said, "No, Bhima, no. He tried it many times. And not a single drop of water was falling down. It was not getting evaporated. Where did all the water go?" Bhima said, "Really? Okay, this is astonishing. Okay, go inside. Please go inside. Ask Maharaj Yudhishthira." So then Bhima saw the fourth person running, running, running and coming. And Bhima said, "Okay, okay, stop running. Today is the day of Ascharya. It's a day of astonishing things that are happening. Really, what happened to you? In fact, don't even tell me because I am amazed. I am too surprised. I will just directly take you and let us go inside. You don't have to tell me. Let's go inside and let's tell Maharaj Yudhishthira. And let us also find out what the other three people, you know, what did Maharaj Yudhishthira tell the other three people." So Bhima took the fourth person inside and he came and the fourth person came and said to Maharaj Yudhishthira that my dear Maharaj Yudhishthir, my dear Bhima, you know, this is something very astonishing I saw. Then Bhima said, okay, you tell in front of Maharaj Yudhishthir only, what happened? What did you see? He said, I saw that there was a big mountain, very big mountain, and there was one small person, he just took a string of thread, he looped it around his head, and then he just looped it around that mountain, that tiny piece of thread, he just pulled it, and that mountain, that huge mountain came crumbling down. So Bhima had his hand on his head. I said, Are Bapre, this is too much. So Maharaj Yudhishthir, please give answer one by one to all the situations. Maharaj Yudhishthir started laughing and smiling, and he said that all these four are symptoms of Kali Yuga. That Kali Yuga, now Dwapara is almost coming to end. So Kali Yuga is actually in our, you know, vicinity. Kali Yuga is coming. So these are symptoms of Kali Yuga. So what did the first person see? Maharaj Yudhishthir asked. That the first person saw that the person was able to pass an elephant through the eye of a needle. The entire elephant passed through, but the tail got stuck. So Maharaj Yudhishthir explained that situations in Kali Yuga will be something like this. That big, big criminals, with the aid of the big Lakshmi that they have, they will be able to get themselves released very soon. They will be able to cheat their way out of the judicial system. But it will be the small-time thieves who are not so well-to-do because they don't have the power of Lakshmi with them, power of money. So they are the ones who will get stuck. So big, big criminals, elephant-like criminals will pass through, but the tail of the elephant, the small-time thieves, they are the ones who will get stuck and they will get crushed by the judicial system. This is happening as a symptom of Kali Yuga. So then Bhima said, wow, intelligent, huh? Very, see my brother, so intelligent. Bhima was very feeling very proud. Said, okay, brother, now solve the second person's problem. Said, okay, second person, what did he see? He saw that the fence that was meant to protect the crops was eating up the crops. So Maharaj Yudhishthir said that in Kali Yuga, those who are the protectors will become the destructors. Rakshak, bhakshak ban jayenge. The protectors will start misutilizing and taking advantage of the ones below them. So they will take advantage of such people, of people whom they are supposed to protect. We see that in Kali Yuga, that people who are in senior, those who are in senior responsible position, they are supposed to give protection to everyone, but they are the ones who actually just, you know, they suck people out unjustifiably. You know, they take undue advantage of people. So that is what is the second symptom of Kali Yuga. Bhima said, okay, what is the third person? The third person saw one big water pot was able to fill five small pots, but those five small pots together was not able to fill one single big pot. Maharaj Yudhishthir explained that this is the third symptom of Kali Yuga, that a parent will be able to very nicely take care of their children, but the children together will not be able to take care of their parents. They will put them in old age homes. They will make their life miserable. And same goes for teachers or gurus, that the guru gives so much to us, but when the time comes for us to give back to the guru, then we are not able to do even one tiny fraction of what the guru has given us. In fact, sometimes with our own shiksha gurus or our vartma pradarshaka gurus, what happens is that we become so ungrateful to them that we even forget to recognize their presence in front of our lives. because we feel, oh, now I'm initiated. Now I'm, on the same level as the person who introduced me. I am doing the same kind of services that the person who introduced me. So what is the difference? So we start neglecting and offending devotees, taking them for granted. We start doing that. And that is one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga. The lack of the attitude of gratitude is Kali Yuga. When we don't have gratitude towards each other, that's a very sad situation, because the lack of gratitude is the birthplace of envy. It is the birthplace of envy. It is the birthplace of all negative qualities. So we must be very careful to always have the attitude of gratitude and the attitude of service towards every devotee. Forget to those senior devotees who have introduced us. We should always treat everyone with proper respect, proper attitude. We should never forget what anybody has done to us. Never forget that. Because then Krishna will forget whatever we are doing to Krishna. He will forget, and we don't want that. If Krishna starts forgetting what we are doing to him, then we are left nowhere. What will be our situation? So we must be very careful that we are not being affected by this particular symptom of Kali Yuga. It's a very dangerous system which can very carefully creep in. If we are not careful, then it can very easily creep in into our life. So we must be very careful that we are giving proper respect, proper gratitude to all the devotees, not just our seniors. We should be very careful about this. So Bhima said, oh, okay, so these are the three symptoms. And then what about this person, the fourth person, the most astonishing thing? And then Maharaj Yudhishthira said, so till now we were discussing the faults of Kali Yuga, and this is the only one thing that is good about Kali Yuga. He said that only by the rope of the chanting of the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, by chanting this Maha Mantra, we can, when we chant this in our mala, when we use this to wrap it around the mountain of sins that we have accumulated, those mountains of sins can come crumbling down if that rope is of the Harinam. Kalir doshe nidhe rajan astihi eko mahat gunan kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sanga param rajit. So that this Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, but there's only one good quality, that simply by kirtana deva krishnasya, simply by chanting the holy names of Krishna, we will be going to mukta sanga param vrajat. It's not even saying that it is param vaikuntha or the spiritual planet. It's talking about vrajadham. Very special. In Srimad Bhagavatam itself, it is talking about this, that you will reach Goloka Vrindavan simply by this chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in this Kali Yuga. That is the glory of this particular Kali Yuga. So, Ashcharya Rupo Nanu Chaura Idrig, that this is the most astonishing, fact of this great thief, that anybody who takes shelter of this great thief, he has the capacity to just crumble down our mountain-like sins when we take shelter of this most, astonishing thief. That I have never seen such an astonishing thief in my entire life. That is what Srila Bilva Mangal Thakur is saying in text 4. I'll just also like to do text 5 today, because next week we are ending Purushottam Mass. So I wanted to also complete 6, 7, and 8 before we complete Purushottam Mass. So I'll complete also text 5 today. Dhanam chamanam chatathendriyani pranam charitva mama sarvameva palaya seko tradrito vyachaura tvam bhakti damna simaya nirudha. O thief, having stolen my wealth, my honor, my senses, my life, and my everything, where can you run to? I have caught you with the rope of my devotion. So here, Srila Bilwa Mangal Thakur is very beautifully explaining in the same mood of the previous two verses, that how Krishna is akinchani kritya padashrutamya, that he takes away everything, and also he takes away the mountain of sins. We heard this in the last two verses. So in this particular verse, Srila Bilwa Mangal Thakur is saying that you are taking away not only my dhana, you're taking my dhanam, my opulence, you're taking my manam, you're taking all of my honor, you know, the honor that I so-called hang on to my own honor, you're taking that also. And you're not only taking that, but you're taking my prana also, my life. You're taking everything. And you're taking even tatha indriyani, you're taking my senses. You're taking complete control of my senses. So you're not only taking my opulence, your my honor, my senses, you're taking my life also, which is everything. Everything you're taking away. Mama sarvam eva, that everything you're taking away from me, O Krishna. And you are thinking that you can run away with all of this. Palaya se kutra dhito dya chora, that hey chora, you think that by stealing all of this that you can run away? No way. I am stealing you. How? How am I stealing you? Tvam bhakti damnasi maya niruddha. That with my bhakti dam, dam means rope. So with my bhakti rope, the rope of my loving devotion, O chora, I am capturing you in my heart. You cannot run away. You cannot run away from me. Just like a normal thief who steals, and as soon as they steal, they don't sit around, right? That is the nature of a thief. A thief, when they go to a particular home or they go to a particular place, they steal. Of course they steal because that is their nature. And after stealing, do they sit over there? Yeah, yeah, get up, see I've stolen. Do they proclaim and they say that, look, look, I've stolen everything. Now you call the cops, I'm sitting here, do whatever you want. Do they do that? No. What is the nature of a thief? A nature of a thief is that they steal everything and then they run. They run away with it. Bilwa Mangal Thakur is saying that, O chora, O most transcendental thief, hey Mahachor, you have stolen everything from me, but I will not let you run away. You are bound in my heart with the rope of my love. So with the rope of my love only, I know that I can tie you down. Nothing in the entire, you know, creation can tie Krishna down except for the loving rope of devotion. We know this from the katha of Sri Damodar Leela also, that Mother Yashoda, she tried so much to bind baby Krishna with the rope that she uses to tie the cows. Then she used the ropes that was there in every home of Braj. She brought out every rope. She joined them together and still she could not tie baby Krishna. Only when she gave up, Only when she surrendered that, hey, Kanha, I cannot tie you up. Please help me. And when she lovingly surrendered to Krishna, seeing the love, seeing the devotion of Mother Yashoda, and seeing her determination to bind him, Krishna allowed himself to be bound by the rope of love of Mother Yashoda. The one thing I'd like to end with today is that in this month, it is very, you know, of course, every month, you know, in Kartik or, you know, Purushottam Mas especially, but every moment also, we should be trying to do, trying to render virtual parikrama, you know, of the holy dhams. We should try to visualize that we are doing parikrama of Govardhan Hill, especially when we are like, you know, sitting here in North America, we are not having access to the physical holy dham, nor we are able to bathe in the rivers of the Jamuna and Ganges, which is an absolute requirement for this month. But all of that can come with Manas Seva. In fact, taking bath in the Ganges is possible even when we are in the luxury of our own showers. It is explained that if we just shout three times, Ganga, 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 and we take bath, that Mother Ganges actually comes. And we will get the benefit of taking bath in Mother Ganges. Or if you chant the entire mantra, Gange cha Yamune chaiva, Godavari Saraswati, Narmade Sindhu Kaveri, Jalayasmin Sannidhim Kuru, we will get the benefit of taking bath in all the seven holy rivers. So like this, the rivers are very merciful. You know, Mother Ganges is extremely merciful. And especially if you remember Gaura Ganga, the Ganga that flows in Sri Mayapur Dham, if you remember her, she is very, very audarya. She is just like Mahaprabhu. If you remember Mayapur Ganga, she will immediately come. Of course, every other river will also come. But Ganga comes, and we can take bath in the Ganga. But we should also try to do parikrama of Govardhan Hill, of Mayapur Dham, you know, of Brajamandal Dham. Because one thing that I remember Srila Radharaman Maharaj telling us when we started this very difficult and very, you know, it seemed like an impossible task, at least for me, to walk for 1 month on an average every day. We walk for 20 to 25 kilometers every day for 30 days. It's an impossible task, at least for a person like me who has no habit of walking at all. So, but Radharaman Maharaj told us one thing. He said that when we are walking, every step we put forward, we should try to see that this step that we are putting forward is like a rope that we are making with our own legs. And that this rope is actually tying Krishna down in our hearts. This bhakti step that we are taking, every step of devotion that we are taking in the holy dham, you know, is like we are using this step of ours. It is like a rope that is tying Krishna down in our own hearts. So, you know, especially the times when the walk would get very, very difficult. The walk would be like, you know, the sun burning down on us in the middle of the afternoon, and the walk never ending, you know. At that time, we used to remember these words of Srila Radharaman Maharaj, that, you know, every step we are taking, we are binding Krishna with the love of our step. In every step that we are taking, we are binding him in our heart. We are tying Krishna down in our heart. So we should try to remember this, that this is Pada Sevanam. This is serving the lotus feet of Krishna, that when we are walking in parikrama, this is actually considered to be Pada Sevanam, the, you know, one of the ways that we can render devotional service by serving the lotus feet of Sri Krishna is by this parikrama. And this parikrama actually helps us in binding Krishna in our heart. He can never escape. that Krishna always likes to run. Palaya se kutra. Kutra means where can you run? Kutra means where? Dhritodhya chora, hey chora, where can you run, O Krishna? Because I have bound you. Tvam bhakti dam nasi maya niruddha. That I have bound you by the bhakti dam, by the rope of my love. So with this, we will end here. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranams, all glories to Prabhupada and Guru Parampara. What is the difference between, you talked about two gurus, one is Siksha Guru and the other guru. Can you please explain who the other guru is and what the difference and what should be our attitude towards them?
Very good question. Actually, there are three kinds of gurus. The first kind guru is called as the Vartma Pradarshaka Guru. Vartma Pradarshaka Guru means the one who points us towards spiritual path. Like anyone who can just, who gives us a book, or it can be anybody, you know. Vartma Pradarshaka Guru can be anybody. It doesn't even have to be a devotee. You know, like in the case of Bilwa Mangal Thakur, it was this prostitute Chintamani, you know, and Bilwa Mangal Thakur expressed his gratitude to Chintamani that, and he considered her to be his Vartma Pradarshaka Guru, that she was the one who said that if you have the same love and attachment that you have towards me, if you had this towards Krishna, what kind of a devotee you would be today? And that struck Bilwa Mangal Thakur. So anybody who reminds us or takes us or brings us to the path of Krishna, he is considered, he or she, or that particular entity is considered to be our Vartma Pradarshaka Guru. And that is the first kind. Then we have Diksha Guru. Diksha Guru is the one who gives us initiation, who gives us Diksha, and he is the one who is responsible, who takes the responsibility upon himself to take us back home, back to Godhead, by, you know, the process of purification, by keeping us under his guidance and shelter, by showing us how to render devotional service, all of these things. The Diksha Guru has the ultimate responsibility to take us back home, back to Godhead. That is the role of the Diksha Guru. And Diksha Guru is that original relationship, like how we say Guru Pita, that he is our father, eternal father. So till the time that the soul goes back home, back to Godhead, the Diksha Guru keeps coming back to take a particular disciple, to take a particular soul back to Krishna. It is his responsibility. So that is Diksha Guru. And Diksha Guru is always one. We can only have one Diksha Guru. And Shiksha Guru means one who gives us Shiksha, means one who helps the Diksha Guru in giving us education on how we can follow the instructions of the Diksha Guru in a more better way. Sometimes the Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru could be the same person. And sometimes, and Srila Prabhupada actually has the unique position in ISKCON that he is all of our Shiksha Guru. He is the preeminent Shiksha Guru for ISKCON. Because? Why? Because we are reading Srila Prabhupada's books. We are Prabhupada Novas. We are the followers of Srila Prabhupada. So therefore, Prabhupada is our primary Shiksha Guru. And then Prabhupada's disciple, who we choose to be, whom we feel most attracted to, whose instructions will be our life and soul, that will be our Diksha Guru. He will be our Diksha Guru. And Shiksha Guru will be all those devotees who are helping us in carrying out the orders of our spiritual master, of our Diksha Guru, who are helping us in this, you know, making advancement in the path of devotional service. They are all considered to be our Shiksha Guru. So we can have many, many Shiksha Gurus. But if we want to have an official relationship with anyone, you know, whom we want to officially seek guidance from, then it is recommended that we should take permission from the Diksha Guru and then accept someone to be our official Shiksha Guru. That, yes, this person, because my Diksha Guru, you know, probably is very, you know, he has responsibility for so many devotees, so the Shiksha Guru helps us in, you know, following the instructions of the Diksha Guru. So these are the three gurus that are there in our lives. So, and this is how we take shelter of each and every one of them. I hope this is clear.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mataji, for the wonderful class, and thank you very much that other Mataji who asked very nice, wonderful question. What is your name, Mataji? Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can hear you, but very feebly.
Okay. No, I just wanted to know the name of the Mataji who asked question.
Yes, we want to know. Could you just ask the question and can you tell your name, please?
Asi.
What?
Hare Krishna?
I mean, yes. Yeah.
Okay, maybe there is a lot of disturbance that is coming through. Maybe if we can mute our phones because we can't hear much. But Mataji, who asked the question, if you can tell your name, if you're comfortable, please share your name if you can. Otherwise, anyone, any other questions, if anyone may have, we can continue.
Hare Krishna Kala Sita, Aichi Kala Sita Mataji, Dandrat Pranam, to your seva, Koti Koti Dandrat Pranam, Shila Prabhupada, Shila Guru Dev Ki Jai Ho. Mataji, after question answer, can you please sing Chaurastakam Dandrat?
Yeah, when they go to the Mataji, Hare Krishna, sure.
Dandavat Mataji.
Dandavat.
Hare Krishna Mataji, this is Chaya. I have a question, and that is, so we all have some type of fears. In order to perfect our life and be able to go back to Godhead, we have to overcome all these fears because... whether it be of other living entities, we have to understand they're all jivatmas. So do we have to get to that point, basically? That's the question.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So fear of snakes, spiders, whatever it be, we have to somehow be able to say, okay, I don't really fear you. You're just like me in another body.
It doesn't mean that we have to go and hug them.
No.
Don't do that. But, yes, you know, I remember one time Govinda Dasi, she's a very dear disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Govinda Dasi was sitting with Srila Prabhupada, and they were both sitting in, you know, there were many other disciples also, and Srila Prabhupada was sitting in the garden, and Govinda Dasi was also sitting next to Srila Prabhupada, and they were all chanting japa. And because they were in the garden, suddenly Govinda Dasi looked to her side and she saw a little slug, you know?
Yeah.
And she said, she went like, ew, look at that, that's a slug. You know, she just said like that. And Srila Prabhupada looked at the slug. And Srila Prabhupada almost had tears in his eyes and he said, chant to the poor creature.
Yeah.
You know, and then Govinda Dasi, she says that she chants to slugs even till today. and not just to slugs, but to all other living entities. So that is compassion. That is seeing everyone in connection to Krishna.
Yes.
So thank you. Thank you for bringing this point.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, this is Damodar Ananda Das.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Mataji, you said we don't have access to arms in North America, but I heard this, and sometimes, you know, people just quote Prabhupada without, you know, any authentication. But I heard that Prabhupada had said that the new Vrindavan is non-different than Vrindavan. So if that's the case, then we have arms in, you know, North America too, but maybe, you know, thought that's up. That's my one question. The second question is, you said you're not scared of tigers or lions and all. Are you not scared of a mouse?
Not so much that I'm scared of a snake, but not so much. Well, and regarding the dhams, yes, New Vrindavan is no doubt. Srila Prabhupada did say that New Vrindavan is non-different from Vrindavan. And that is the reason why, you know, each of the temples that Srila Prabhupada established, Srila Prabhupada gave them, you know, new names, in the sense that he called Los Angeles New Dwarka, he called San Francisco New Jagannath Puri, he called Atlanta New Panihati Dham. There are reasons why he did this, because each and every one of the ISKCON centers is non-different from a dham. It is non-different from a dham because wherever the deities, wherever the devotees are residing, that becomes the holy dham. There is no difference. Dham is actually the state of consciousness. We can be sitting in our own homes. If we are sitting and constantly thinking of Vrindavan, that space becomes Vrindavan. Why do we say that Srila Prabhupada carried Vrindavan in his heart? It's because Srila Prabhupada was always thinking of Vrindavan Dham. So Srila Prabhupada was always residing in Vrindavan Dham. So I don't mean to say that North America does not have any holy dham, because it is not true. You know, each and every one of our ISKCON centers is indeed a holy dham. But I was saying in the sense that, you know, we don't have Ganga, we don't have the, you know, we don't have entire Giriraj. We might have a small Giriraj Shila that we worship. So in that sense, I was saying, you know, the physical holy dham. But the dham is never physical. It is a state of consciousness. And each and every one of our ISKCON centers is indeed a spiritual dham. So thank you for bringing that point out.
Thank you, Mother. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Yeah, if I could just follow up on your answer to that last question. Somehow, you know, I think I could get a little mixed messages, because on the one hand, we do hear that the dham is the state of consciousness, it's not a physical place. But on the other hand, I kind of feel like I get the message that the physical place carries some extra potency, you know. The nature of the potency is, you know, dependent upon the actual Jagannath Puri, you know, separation, Mayapur is compassion, Vrindavan sweetness, like this. But whatever the case, I feel like I'm hearing that the actual physical dham carries extra potency because Krishna actually, you know, manifested himself at those places. I mean, in one sense, you cannot, you know, just take a plane and go to the Dham, because you could be there and, like, not be there if you're not in the proper consciousness. But on the other hand, still, I'm hearing that those physical places do carry extra potency somehow. So I don't know. This is my question.
Well, that is very true. That is very true. The pastime places of Krishna do carry extra weightage, the physical place. Yes, no doubt about that. But we can get the same benefit of, you know, accruing that, you know, having access to that same physical place if we are strongly connected in our consciousness. It again depends on how strongly connected we are to the Holy Dham. That, mm-hmm. And also the point that you yourself said that, you know, that you can be in the Dham but not in the Dham, you know, physically mm-hmm. in the Dham. You might be elsewhere, but you might not be actually physically in the Dham but still in the Dham kind of thing, you know. But mm-hmm. of course, the places in themselves like Gokul or Mayapur or Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri, these places, they have special significance, no doubt about that. That if we can go to these physical places, and the reason why we go there is that so that our batteries can get recharged. You know, why do we, you know, electricity is all around us, but still, why do we need to connect to the socket? So that we can get charged up. You know, there's rechargeable batteries. The mm-hmm. reason why they can get charged up is that after getting charged up, they can run for 8-10 hours, you know, and then again they need charging. So these dhams are like our charging pods. You know, yes, we do need to visit these dhams, and then we can run on battery. But when our charge reduces, we need to go and get powered up. That is why Srila Prabhupada also said that once a year at least, you know, devotees should make a trip to Vrindavan, to Mayapur, should come to, you know, Vrindavan and Mayapur. Devotees should come. Why? Why did Srila Prabhupada ever say this? Why did he, you know, have the annual GBC meetings in Mayapur every year? Why did he do that? It's because he knows the importance of getting recharged. We need to recharge our batteries, our spiritual batteries, so that we can run on battery power the rest of the time while we are physically away from the Dham. But when we are in the Dham, we get the power to at least, you know, take all the mercy that we can and come and, you know, keep running on battery power and then go back and recharge ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And so therefore, if a person, obviously a very spiritually advanced person, if a person's consciousness is sufficiently fixed up, then he doesn't actually need to go to the physical place because his consciousness is always there.
Well, yes, that is true. Like Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, we see from his glorious life, he said that he wants to leave his body not in the holy dham, but on the battlefield. What he said is that Srila Prabhupada's centers are like, of course he left his body in the most holiest of dham at Gita Nagari. But Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj also said that he wants to leave his body in the battle, on the battlefield, you know, because when we come to these places, these are preaching places. You know, when we come out of the holy dham, we actually gain strength to, you know, we charge up our batteries in the holy dham, and then we come out into this preaching field, and this is the place that we have declared our war against Maya. So we are in the battlefield, Srila Prabhupada said. So Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, with his glorious life, he actually said that I want to give up my life on the battlefield, you know. So we do see that, you know, for Maharaj, it didn't matter. The holy dham came to him, you know, in the form of his dear god brothers and in the form of his most loving disciples.
in the shelter of the holy dham of Sri Gita Nagari. How, you know, Krishna arranged everything so wonderfully for, you know, Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. His life is an example of that, for sure, definitely. But for us to claim that, yes, you know, we need to be at that level at least to be able to say that, yes, we don't need to be here physically at any time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, thank you. There's one other thing concerning the Guru coming back for us, you know. I remember hearing one time, I can't tell you when, where, how, why, in some lecture or something that, anyway, whatever I heard made me, it raised the question that it's actually the same personality who gave you Diksha Guru who comes back for you in a subsequent life if you don't finish things up in the present one. You know, it seemed like the person was trying to say it's more the principle of Diksha Guru comes to help you advance rather than it necessarily being the self-same identical jiva, you know? You know, the same jiva who is your Diksha Guru in this life is not necessarily the same jiva who will help you advance in your next life. You'll get Diksha Guru, so that Diksha Guru principle will be there to help you advance if you don't finish up. But it's not necessarily the same, you know, the identical jiva. So I was wondering if, you know, I was wondering about that.
Well, it can be different. You know, it doesn't have to be one or the other. The Diksha Guru, actually, you know, because there is the Guru Tattva, but, you know, again, that's a very vague concept also in some circumstances. And the thing that is there is that Diksha Guru himself comes back because each and every one of us have a unique relationship with the Diksha Guru and that the Diksha Guru himself comes back, you know.
So you're saying the identical personality, not...
Identical personality, yes. Identical personality. And also, one other thing can be raised in this regard is that what happens when the guru falls down? There are so many cases in ISKCON itself. We see that, you know, Diksha gurus have fallen down and then devotees have taken Diksha from other gurus. Well, then that becomes your eternal guru. You know, this question was raised to Pankajangri Prabhu, something very similar to what you are saying. And this is what Pankajangri Prabhu replied. He said that, because one devotee said that, you know, the class, the entire class that Pankajangri Prabhu gave was on Diksha Guru, you know, that this particular aspect, that the Diksha Guru is ultimately responsible to taking the, you know, soul back home, back to Godhead. It is his responsibility, the individual soul. So it is his responsibility. And Dr. Anipur was stressing this in his class. So there was once, after the class, during the question answers, there was this question by one devotee. He said that I was a disciple of, he took the name of a Maharaj, and he said that that he fell down, and then I took initiation again, and then that Maharaj also fell down. I took Diksha again, and that Maharaj fell down. So now
wow.
I've taken Diksha fourth time.
Wow.
So I got kicked. That guy was really frustrated, that devotee. He said that I got kicked around four times. Now how should I have the faith? It's difficult. So Pankajangri Prabhu said, very beautifully, he said, you can get kicked around. No worries. Even if it happens the fourth time, get kicked around the fourth time. The fifth time you pray that it doesn't happen again. But if it happens again, don't worry. Even then, continue. Don't stop accepting Diksha Guru.
Because then one day or the other, he said, Pankajami Prabhu said, you will notice that by this kind of kicking around, your final shelter, you'll see that, one day, where am I? This is the lotus feet of Krishna. You've reached your destination by the process of being kicked around. So that is the faith that a devotee has.
Well, you know, that answer made me wonder now, how legitimate is it to actually call the Diksha Guru eternal? You know, this story was an illustration of the fact that it doesn't seem so necessarily, that the person who gave you Diksha is eternal.
Well, see, in that sense, every living entity, we are having eternal relationship with each other in some way or the other. Some way or the other, each and every one of us is connected with Krishna in the center, in the ultimate sense of all affairs. We are all connected to each other. So if one Diksha Guru fails, the other definitely comes, you know? So, you know...
Yeah, but that's my concern, though. The one that failed, how do we... You know, at the time of initiation, we were considering the person our eternal. So then how come, you know... How could our eternal Diksha Guru fail us?
Yes, that is a definitely... That was the point that I'm trying to say to you, that yes, this is happening, no doubt about it, that there are situations, and situations have happened in the past, are happening in the present, that Diksha Gurus are falling down. So that shows that, yes, nobody is perfect. But then again, each and every one of them have a role to play in our life to a certain extent, for sure. We cannot deny that. They have brought us to the level at least with which we are able to move on in our spiritual life. They are probably taking us to the next level. And what Pankajami Prabhu was trying to prove and trying to say to us during that devotee also is that you know, those Diksha Gurus might not have been your original Diksha Guru. You know, that the Diksha Guru is something very special, Mataji. It is an eternal relationship that we have with our spiritual master. Even with our Shiksha Gurus, we have eternal relationship with. Each and every one of us. What to speak of just Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru, I'm saying that we have eternal relationship even with a slug who is in the body of a slug, right? We have eternal relationship with them. But
yeah,
there is one special soul who is responsible to take us back home, back to Godhead. There is one special soul for each and every one of us. And it's just time that is separating us from meeting that person, either in insincerity from our side or something or the other. But there is one person who is responsible to take us back home, back to Godhead.
So in the story that you just told about the one who had like five gurus.
Four.
Which
he was at the fourth guru at that time, yeah.
Okay. So which of those, I don't know if you're saying all of them or the
no,
last one.
I'm saying
which...
that the last one. That's what Pankajami Prabhu said. He said that the last one, the current one now, was his eternal guru.
But couldn't he have said that the last time too?
He could have. But see, then that means, see, what happens is that the time has proved that, yes, he had not yet met his eternal guru. That he needed
uh-huh.
that other third guru to come to the fourth guru.
Mm-hmm.
So they could have, might as well been just like the Shiksha Guru, who was just taking that soul from one level to the next, to the next, to the next, to meet him, make him meet his original Diksha Guru. You see?
Okay, so therefore, you know, none of us can really say with absolute certainty as yet that we have met our eternal Diksha Guru, because we don't know where
we
will land.
No. That's not the right kind of consciousness that we should have, because we do need to have immense faith in our Diksha Guru, and we need to know that, see, that is a very skeptical way of understanding the Guru Tattva. Very skeptical way. But like, say, for example, disciples of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj or disciples of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you know, these souls have, they're Diksha Gurus, they're disciples. They are not with their Diksha Guru right now. Their Diksha Guru is already, you know, serving Srila Prabhupada, maybe in some other mission. You know, that's what Srila Prabhupada always said, that my disciples will always be with me. So they are already there, but those Diksha Gurus, they are arranging for their Shiksha Gurus, they are arranging for their disciples to take care of them. They still identify themselves as disciples of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, but they are having the aid of their Shiksha Gurus also. The God Brothers of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, the God Brothers of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, are helping these disciples achieve the purpose that the Diksha Guru wanted for them. So there is, it's not just, you know, yes, it is Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj who is responsible to take them back to Godhead, but he is being assisted by a group of other devotees in fulfilling that mission.
Oh, but that's a different story. That's I'm not thinking about that kind of case. I'm thinking about the case where, you know, a guru does fall down, and
so
you know, like you get kicked to another one.
I'm just coming to that. I was just coming to that. That mm-hmm. for us to think that currently our Diksha Guru is probably not the one who is our eternal guru, to think that is very offensive to Guru Tattva. Like, before getting kicked around, if you're always thinking, oh, I'm going to get kicked around, then you'll surely get kicked around.
No, that's not the mentality. I'm saying that, you know, after hearing a story like that, or there's so many other stories, it is quite, you know, it's not irrational to have this doubt come into mind. Who knows? Look at so many other people's stories. So why should I not think that that might not also happen to me? Not that you're meditating like that, but it's just reality that, you know, you don't know the trajectory of your spiritual life. I mean, when that Prabhu was...
That is where faith comes into play. That is how much faith we are showing in the devotee, in our own Diksha Guru. Faith can, you know... Faith is something that it always boils down to. So yes, situations can happen. Situations can happen. There is no doubt about it. This is the material world. Anything can happen. But how much faith do we have in the current situation and to trajectorize ourselves for the future, that what will happen to us in the future if my guru falls down, if this happens to my guru, if this happens to that? It's not our place to think right now. Let Krishna take that headache. So what do we have in our own present, you know, control right now is what we have right now with us. That is what we need to focus on. Not what can happen in the future. There are millions of possibilities in the future. There are some possibilities that we can't even imagine of. Maybe Krishna has that in store for us. Who knows? We don't know the future. But what we can do is have faith in the present and move on with that faith. Have faith in the association of devotees. Have faith in our spiritual master. Because that is the one thing that will make sure that we are getting a safe landing at the lotus feet of Krishna. That is the ultimate objective. So when we have that faith in our present, that will take care of us in the future. Just that faith. Otherwise, to think of situations that can happen, possibilities that could happen, it has no end. It just has no end. You know? So it's not worthwhile. It is better, it is much, much better utilization of our own time. Because who knows if we are going to see the next moment or not? Who knows? If we are going to be alive to see tomorrow, who knows? What is the guarantee? No guarantee, right?
But all we have is what we have today. Now is what we have. So how to make the best utilization of this now is what Krishna consciousness is all about. Every moment we choose to surrender to our spiritual master, we choose to surrender to Krishna consciously. And then we leave the rest to Krishna. Let Krishna take control. Otherwise we'll go crazy. There's never end to the possibilities. There's no end. We should not, you know, waste our time in these frivolities that, oh, look what's happening around us. Let's try to safeguard ourselves first. And how can we safeguard ourselves when we have a strong foundation? A strong foundation, a strong faith. When we have strong faith, when we are interested in the betterment of our own spiritual lives, when we can, you know, take on the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and give Krishna to others, when we are in this preaching mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, on behalf of our spiritual master, they will take that headache of what will happen to us. Then we no longer have to take that headache. Let them take that decision. Let us just do what we are supposed to be doing. Render service in a spirit of love and trust. Give Krishna to the best of our ability. Let us give Krishna to others. And let us chant the holy name with faith, determination, and love. This is all we can do. Does that make sense?
Yes, very much so. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. So inspiring and so beautiful. Question and answer in class, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Okay.
Is there any question or comment for Mataji? Mataji, if there is no question, can you? Do you want to sing, Mataji? Brinda Gopika Mataji.
Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. I'll just sing the.
Thank you, Mataji.
I'll just sing the second verse of the Charashtaka. Shri Radhikaya Hridayasya Charam Navandu Dasha Malakanti Charam Padashritanam Chasamasta Charam Chavadraganyam Purusham Namami. Hare Krishna. Thank you all so much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Mataji and all the devotees, Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Krupa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavane Pyo Vane Pyo Vesh.
Oh, no. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srila Jaurabha Ganya Purushashtakam Ki Jai
Ati Kala Sudha Mataji Ki Jai Tanpatma.